Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why this word of God is given. So that by believing in this, believing in Jesus, we may have life in his name. That's why it's so important to tell others about this good book. It's why it's so important to teach it to our children. It's why it's so important for us to study it, to inwardly digest it, to seek Jesus with all our heart. Salvation, it's life. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Buckle up and hang on. Gideon's International's Randy Nelson is about to talk to us. Randy, on February 5th, I see you have a meeting at the Norwood Alliance Church is inviting all men to come to a meeting. Maybe it is the 9th. I read it in the paper this morning. Okay, maybe it is the 9th. But it was in the paper I saw it this morning. So, after you, sir.
Thank you.
Give him heaven.
Good morning, church. And I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed to be here. I want to thank you, Pastor. I want to thank you, congregation, for having me to share today what the Gideons are doing in this area and throughout the world. And I'll say this, I had bronchitis all week. Wednesday, I lost my voice. Thursday was pretty bad. Patterson said, well, we can reschedule. I said, no, I'm trusting the Lord. I said, he gave me a message, and it's coming. I felt like I spoke last night, was okay. Felt like $1 million this morning. Shook everyone's hand. About 5 minutes before I come up, I took a coughing spell that sent tears down my eyes, sent me into the bathroom. I come under attack, and I come up here, and I said, Lord, I need you. This is the message you gave me, and it's coming. Whether I choke, gasp, or what, I don't know if I even coughed, but I'm praising God for that. And I'm trusting God for this message now that he gives me energy, voice, and strength. Thank you, Jesus. I hated God and I hated myself. That's what a man named Bill Bloom said to me not too long ago as he looked me in the eyes. I met Bill for the first time last year at a pastor's appreciation dinner. Bill's a very large and intimidating man with tattoos from head to toes. I mean down to his fingernails. Okay? At the Gideon's pastor's appreciation dinner, Bill stood up and shared his amazing testimony. He was abused as a child, verbally, physically beaten, he said. He became a juvenile delinquent quick. He turned to drugs and abused them. Eventually, he joined a motorcycle gang and became a dangerous man who didn't care who he hurt, and he said he hurt a lot of people. He dealt drugs, got tied up with the Mexican drug cartels. He eventually got addicted to heroin. He said he was in and out of prison his whole life. His last prison sentence, he received a 20-year sentence. Now, this is the abbreviated version Bill's telling me here. While Bill was in prison, a little old Gideon man showed up one day, ministered to him, and gave him a Bible. Bill asked God for forgiveness and accepted Jesus Christ into his life. Bill sat in a cell and read his Bible over and over. He told God if he ever got out of prison, he would serve him. In Bill's own words, he said, to this day, for no rhyme or reason other than God, he says, I was released from prison 8 years early. He says, when he got out of prison, he looked for a building for sale to start a church. He found one. He said the only problem was it was $150,000. Bill said he didn't have that kind of money. Bill said, actually, I didn't have any money. He said, but God got that building for $50,000, and God provided the funds. Bill Bloom is the pastor of Faith to Faith Church in Rochester, Pennsylvania. I spoke there a couple weeks ago. There's a big sign on the outside of the church in white letters. It says, Sinners Welcome. Bill would just come out and tell you this. He says, my church is made up of present and former homeless people, bikers, drug addicts, and prostitutes. No one here has ever turned away. He told me if God can totally change my life and who I was, he says there's hope for anybody. God is using this man in a mighty way, friends. Many lives are being changed, all because years ago, one Gideon walked into that prison and handed one really lost man one Gideon Bible. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What are the Gideons? Most of you know, but I got to tell you, we're not a cult or a religion, but a ministry of God for God. Gideons are a group of Christian professional and businessmen with one common purpose. And that purpose is to win others to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that? By personal witnessing, placement of scriptures. We put the Bibles in the hotels, motels, prisons, military bases, recruiting centers. Also, some Gideon wives are active in doctor's office, dentist offices, places of that sort. So let me ask you, is the Bible important? Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God's not talking about a college education here, friends. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's talking about his wisdom, his knowledge. My people are being destroyed for lack of. Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You catching this? We're saved by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Well then, we figured the Bible might be important. Is it important to place the word of God then? Sounds pretty obvious. The psalmist declares in chapter 126, verse 6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we're told that when the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. This is my favorite verse as I'm handing out Bibles in an outreach. God speaking says, "So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amen. The Holy Spirit's at work through this ministry, folks. God's given us the opportunity to personally hand out thousands upon thousands of these small Bibles we refer to as PWTs, Personal Witness Testaments. We've handed out thousands at the county fair, thousands at parks, parades, car shows, concerts, college campuses, anywhere people gather together in large numbers. Folks, we witness numerous salvations and miracles. Why? Are we so wonderful or special? No. We're just showing up, sacrificing an itty-bitty part of our life, a little bit of time, and saying, "Here we are, God. Have your way," and allowing him to work through us, allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work through us. We can take no credit for anything. Also, for many years, we went to the rehearsals and graduations at the local high schools. Folks, you all know, sooner or later, these young adults just starting out are going to face trials and tribulation that life brings. But through Jesus, through support of churches like yours, these kids have the opportunity to open the cover to the most important book they could ever read in this life. We give them the opportunity through you to receive the love of Jesus and through God's grace, eternal life. Thank you, Lord. I was speaking at the Methodist Church in Greensburg this past summer. It was a Sunday morning, and at the end of the service, as I was closing, the Lord filled me with his spirit. I got excited. I exclaimed to the congregation that as soon as I left there, I was headed to the county fair to meet other Gideons and hand out God's holy word. I said, "God's going to put people right in front of me and they're going to get saved." Well, I left. When I got to the fairgrounds, I loaded up my dolly with boxes of Bibles and proceeded into the fair to find a Gideon table where we, hand out Bibles or witness or pray for people if the opportunity comes. If anybody's ever been to the county fair, you know it can be crowded. We were in a building with a roof. So walked in, you got vendors on one side, vendors on this side, and a row of vendors in the middle. So I found a Gideon booth, And as I pulled up, there was a young man in the vendor beside me. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Good." I said, "How's your neighbors been treating you?" Just kidding around, meeting the Gideons beside him. He said, all good. They're really nice." I said, "I guess you got a Bible, huh?" He says, "Oh, yeah. I said, "I guess you know Jesus." He looked at me and said, "Well, to tell the truth, no." Well, before I could even get the Bible off the dolly, bam, with a short witness, because this man had some Christian background, but with a short witness, this man was praying to God and asking for forgiveness of his sins and receiving Christ as his Savior. And as I proceeded to unload the Bibles from the dolly, a young lady who had a booth right in front of me in the middle aisle, she walked up to me and said, "Could you please help me?" And I looked at her and said, "Well, I'll try." She said, "Please, please, please, don't think I'm crazy." I reassured her that I wouldn't judge her for what she had to share with me. She went on to say she went to the beach for spring break. She said she remembered being with some friends. Next thing you know, she says, "I wake up in the hospital." The doctors told her she was found on the beach unresponsive. She had ligature marks on her neck and she had been assaulted. She told me she had no memory of the attack. She said again, "Please don't think I'm crazy." She proceeded to say, "The only thing I remember is being on the beach." She said she saw this beautiful light up the beach. She said it was gorgeous. She said so much she can't even describe it to me. She said it was irresistible. She says all she could do was go to this light, and she started running to this light. She had to be by this light. She said, all of a sudden she hears, "Stop, go back, you're not ready." She says, "And I know that was God who said that." She said she woke up in the hospital. She looked at me with tears in her eyes. She says, "Can you help me?" I didn't know what to say. I simply said, "Well, do you know Jesus?" She said, "No, and I don't know anything about God. But I saw you praying with that man, and I knew I had to come talk to you." Friends, after a little longer than usual conversation about the cross and God's grace and love and mercy, this young lady received Christ into her heart and life. Immediately after this took place, two sisters stopped to talk and left there after saying the sinner's prayer. Then a middle-aged man stopped, said the sinner's prayer. I said, "Wow, God, this is incredible." Now, this didn't happen. This took some time, but 5 in a row, I didn't even get all the Bibles unloaded. But you know what? Not one more salvation took place the rest of the day. But hundreds of Bibles were distributed. And I'm trusting God that his word, that they would not return void. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit gave me Romans, a couple verses today. This first one is Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. You take out of it whatever the Lord's putting on your heart. I'm concentrating on faith today. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This is what jumped out at me when I was praying and doing this message. Verse 8 says, "God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He knew we were going to be born into a sinful life. God loves us so much he died for us. But why did Jesus have to die? Anyone ever ask you that? I've been asked that years ago. Why did he have to die? He's God. Why did he have to die? We know for redemption and sin. We read this. We're told this. But why death? Let's try to simplify this a bit, friends. If you and I were walking along a muddy, swift, flowing river, and I was telling you how much I loved you, okay? All of a sudden, I said, hey, I'll show you how much I love you. And I jumped in that river, got swept away, I drowned. I'm dead. I'm dead because I was trying to show you how much I love you. You're going to say, wow, yeah, he was a nice guy, but totally nuts. You're going to say, cuckoo. Bananas, something wrong with him here, right? Okay? Now, same scenario. We're walking along that river, and I'm telling you how much I love you. All of a sudden, you slip and fall into the river. The water's deep. It's dark. The current's fast. You can't swim. You can't breathe. I jump in and grab you and lift you up over my head and set you on a solid rock along the river on dry ground, just as the current takes my legs out and washes me away to my death. Now I died for a purpose, huh? Now I died for a reason. Now I died to save you. I died so you could live. Well, Jesus died for a reason. We know that reason's redemption and forgiveness of sins. That reason is love, pure love, agape love. Fact is, we were born into sin. Now think about this. I'll lighten it up a tad. Anybody ever see any little kids, say from 3 years old and under, 1 years old to 2 years old? You know, they love to play in the mud. You put a kid near a puddle, I don't care if they're wearing their Sunday best. Little kid's going to end up in that mud. If they're under 3 years old, that same mud's going on their face, it's going on their head, and they're going to taste some, right? They're going to try it. Guaranteed. I got 1-year-old granddaughter and 3-year-old. Guaranteed. But they get a little older, 4 and 5 or whatever. They stop eating the mud. They realize it doesn't taste so good. They kind of try to keep it off their face and out their eyes because they learn it burns a little bit. You know what I mean? And as they get a little older, they realize, it's not worth it. So maybe they'll just splash around in it. My memory goes far back as making mud pies. Anybody ever do that? Like mud hamburgers or mud pancakes or whatever, you know. You can find some good mud. But the point of all this is, okay? God says we were born into sin. So let's go back to this muddy river example. We're born into this muddy river of life. The mud represents sin. Now, remember this. We start out in life. The river's low. The mud representing sin is covering our feet. God's waiting with his hand reached out to us, waiting for us to clasp onto him so he can take us from that river of sin. Sometimes when we're young, we look at him and say, nah, river's low. Mud feels pretty good between my toes, actually. But sin feels pretty good here. I'm not ready. Anybody ever tell you that? I'm not ready. Well, God's patient and loving, so he just waits by that river of sin with his hand out. So we get older, that muddy river is getting higher and higher. We can grab the hand of Jesus and let him pull us out, or we can ignore him. Some people just turn their head, pretend he's not there. The water is getting deeper and deeper, this river of sin. Some are in so deep they can barely breathe. They still ignore him as muddy currents of sin take them away, perishing, separated from Christ forever. Christ is patient as he still stands next to that river of sin, pulling out sinners and personally washing them off, cleansing them with his robe of righteousness. This Gideon ministry, friends, pointing to Christ who saves a lost and drowning society of people. Thank you, Jesus. You know, receiving Christ is step one. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, mostly all of us, hopefully all of us. But the truth is, there are some people in some churches every week trying to take step two, step three, step four. They've never taken step one. They're trying to change things on their own power, or maybe by a prayer someone else sends up to God. They haven't really repented of their sins or told God sorry. confessing to God they're a sinner and realizing the magnitude of God's righteousness, that there has to be punishment for those sins. Then coming to terms in the realization of the overwhelming love that Christ has for us by taking that punishment for us, by shedding his blood on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. When we invite Christ into our heart and lives, now it's the Holy Spirit that changes us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen to what God's saying here. We forget this. We get saved, but then we keep on and on in our sin and this and that. Step one is so important, just repenting of sins, asking Christ for forgiveness. It's him that empowers us to take step two, whether it's obvious as maybe ridding drugs, alcohol, pornography from your life. Maybe it's not such an obvious sin. Maybe it's verbal abuse to your wife or husband. Anger, maybe some pride issues. The point is, once you've been delivered, he's going to show you step 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. 1,054, probably what I'm on, whatever. And still showing me things in my life. It's the process of sanctification, friends. What's important is to walk with God. Hold his hand. Let him guide you. Look, God's taken me from a sinful lifestyle, but guess what? We're all still capable of sin. It's this thing called flesh, compounded by the fact we're living in a fallen world. We need the full armor of God, friends. God says a righteous man's footsteps are ordered by the Lord. We can only become righteous in God's eyes by faith in him, obedience in him. We've been saved from the penalty of sin when we take step one and ask for forgiveness and invite Christ into our heart. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us from everyday sin we're exposed to. 1 Peter, verses 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that to test the genuineness your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, faith is believing what you can't physically see. Jesus' healing ministry was based on the faith that the ones being healed. Wherever he went, there were healings. But when he got back to his hometown, there was very little healings because there was very little faith there. Mark chapter 6. They all said, That's Jesus. That's Joseph, the carpenter's son. They couldn't believe that this was the Messiah. The Bible even said they were offended by him. They were offended he was there. The ones in the other towns were being healed, like the woman with the blood disorder in Matthew 9:22. She just reached out and touched his robe and was healed. It was her own faith that enabled the healing to take place. She thought, if I can only reach out and touch part of him. That's what Christ wants. Just reach out and touch him. He's there for all of us. But we have to take that initial action. We have to take the action of reaching out to him. Once you touch him, you know he's there. Faith, believing what you can't see. We're not just following a blind faith. This is experience. It's kind of like those high tension wires running on top of the telephone poles out here. They're called hot wires for a reason. You can't see anything. Just looks like a thin wire. But you go touch that and see what happens. You even get close to it. You touch that wire, get close, you're going to fry. You can't see that electricity, but you know it's there. I'll share this one. This kind of I threw in. I don't know if the Holy Spirit gave it to me. But I have five brothers. Saturday mornings, we all liked to fish. We'd get up while it was dark. We'd walk a couple miles up the road. We'd cut through the woods to get to this fishing lake because the fish bite in the morning, right? We'd have to cross this cow pasture with the electric fence around it. So we'd all have to stop and one at a time go under. Well, let me ask you this. Any of you men out here other than me, anybody ever relieve themselves on an electric fence? I bet you only do it once, right? You don't see nothing, but you know it's there. That's my whole point here, okay? I worked around electric wires quite a bit in the line of work doing tree removal. I've been juiced a few times. Now, that's the term for an electrical shock. I remember cutting a limb once and the tip of the limb laid on a wire. I couldn't let go of the limb. Luckily, the weight of the branch pulled it out of my hand, but whoa, let me tell you, it's real. You can't see it. When lightning hits close to you, before the strike, you feel the electricity. I've been close to lightning strike. Your hair stands straight up right before the strike. And you grab onto a wire or a fence or a plug socket, you get juiced and you can't let go. When you acquire faith in Jesus Christ, it's similar. You can't see him, but you know he's there. You get close enough, you can feel him. And when you get juiced by Jesus, you can't let go and you don't want to. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Anybody been juiced by Jesus? Come on, somebody knows it. You know what I'm talking about. He's awesome. Now, let me tell you what the Gideons are doing here in Egypt. We recently had a Gideon brother from Egypt comes to share what they're doing in the Middle East there. Now, I'll give you a real quick one. I don't want to bore you. Saad Malik's from Cairo, Egypt, where he joined the Gideons in 1975, serves as field representative, serves as president of Heliopolis Camp, national co-treasurer, national field officer. Saad works in the family-owned rubber business as a chemist, serves as an elder in the Open Brethren Church. Man of integrity, man of power, man of wisdom, been a Gideon a long time. Mr. Malik informed us that Egypt is 90% Muslim, 10% Christian. But out of that 10%, 90% is Coptic Christian. He said the Muslims dislike the Christians very much. And he said the Coptic Christians don't like the Christians much. He says, so we're not liked in the country. He went on to say that the Muslims would like nothing less than the whole world to become Muslim, which I truly believe when we want the whole world to become Christian, of course. The only difference is how we go about achieving those goals. A prayer out of love or a threat of beheading? I like the God who says, pray for the lost, the God of grace and mercy, myself. Thank you, Jesus. He went on to tell us personal testimonies, how God's working in enemy territory. One was of a woman from England who ended up in prison in Egypt. She was ever so grateful that a Gideon came to the prison, gave her a Bible in Egypt, and she came to know the Lord. Mr. Malik also told us how he visited a man in prison who was sentenced to death. He said he went to visit him. He was to be hung that day. He said this man was also very grateful that he was visited by Gideon prior and was given a Bible. He said he was very excited about going to be in his Savior's presence. He said he had an amazing peace about him, this man who was to be hung. Mr. Malik said he witnessed the hanging that day. He says it wasn't pleasant to witness. He said that man went with a calm, confident look on his face because he told him, I'm not going to my death, I'm going to my life. Mr. Malik spoke of visiting a few of the families that lost loved ones that were lined up by ISIS and beheaded. Now, this particular testimony really got to me. I remember seeing this on the world news. It was quite a few years back because it was when ISIS was first coming up. Mr. Malik went on to say 20 Christians were lined up with hoods on. I remember seeing this. Of course, they were all beheaded. It wasn't shown on TV, but Mr. Malik said their crime was they would not deny Christ. Mr. Malik went on to say he visited the widow of one of these gentlemen in her home, one of the martyrs. He went to hand her a small Gideon Bible. She said, wait, ran in another room and came back with her own small Gideon Bible. She went on to say how she got her husband's shirt and pants back from the ISIS prison. She went on to say that little Bible was buttoned in the shirt. And the prisoner she talked to went on to say how her husband would read that Bible every morning to other prisoners. And he led numerous people to Jesus Christ in that ISIS prison. She went on to say, 3 times they had a chance to deny Christ and reclaim their Muslim faith. Deny Christ and live, they were told. 3 different occasions, and they would not. True martyrs in God's presence led to Jesus through the Gideon Bible. Thank you, Lord. A couple of us did the placement of Bibles in the motels and hotels. This is one Bible, one hand at a time, one room at a time. This isn't a glamorous job, friends. It consists of prayer and labor. Not all motel owners and managers are willing to give you the keys to the rooms or walk around with you all morning. A lot of these hotels are being bought up by Middle Easterners. And they don't want God's word in there. I've got to tell you that. That's why we pray and we rely on God to open doors. Let me tell you, scripture placement by Gideon's takes place in 200 countries around the world. I know what you're thinking, Peggy. Oh, Randy, you must sure be busy flying all around. No, actually, there are 199,000 Gideons worldwide distributing God's word in 101 different languages and counting. That's how I know God calls his servants when he wants them and where he wants them. There's countries I'm reading the Gideon camps opening up. I'm like, I never even heard of that country. Countries I never heard of. It's wild, but that's God working. It's God working. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you're a professional or businessman, there's only about 5 or 6 of us active in Westmoreland County here. Don't get me wrong. God gets her done. If you're a professional man, businessman, fireman, college educated, have any employees, and you feel like you're being tugged to spread God's holy word in this area here, talk to me afterwards. Please talk to our pastor here. Talk to him. Matthew 9:37-38 says, Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now be careful, because if you're praying for laborers, he might say, Yep, I hear you. Go talk to your pastor. Yep, I hear you. Go talk to Randy, because it's you I'm calling. So listen what I'm saying here. I'm just reading God's word. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. How else can we be involved in this ministry? We had to get in card program. There's cards back there on the rack. Someone loses a loved one. A sympathy card is sent with the purchase of Bibles in honor of the deceased. There's also tribute cards. Now we have occasion cards. I don't know if we got any of those back there. I can check after the service. It's all on the honor system. You find out somebody passed or something and you didn't have time to get a card. Grab one back there. Send $5 to the Gideon. Send $50,000 to the Gideon. Whatever's on your heart. It's the honor system. Just remember, God's watching you though. Well-known radio minister shared this story about giving. Homeless man came to a new town. He was lost. It was very cold that weekend. He had traveled a long distance. He was hungry. He was wandering around town lost and nowhere to go. A lady at the red light almost gave him $10 for a hot meal, but the light changed. A man almost stopped and gave him directions to the shelter. His cell phone rang and distracted that. Young person almost stopped and gave him a blanket, but thought, looked at that blanket. Looked at that man and said, that's a pretty nice blanket. I don't even know him. That man perished that weekend because numerous people almost gave. Friends, there are people outside these walls perishing, leaving life as we know it separated from God. Yeah, we ask for your financial support. Cash or check to Gideon's International is accepted. This, my friends, is between you and God. But brothers and sisters, let me be frank. You give money to Gideons. You're not giving to me. You're not giving to a person. You're putting God's word in the hands of the lost for God's kingdom. In closing, remember this. Through the funds you provide, we go to the prisons, we go to the campuses and schools, we go to the lost around the world. The Gideons are the extended hands to your arms. You're the arms of God's body. Together we're the full body of Christ, reaching the lost for his glory and his kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. May we bow our heads for a moment. Father God, I thank you and praise you, Lord. I thank you, for the energy you gave me and the voice that you gave me back, Lord. I give you the glory for that, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to serve you. I would pray for this congregation, Father God. I pray for this pastor, Lord. Lord, bless them with health, Lord, as this flu is going around bad, Lord. Protect them, Lord, and protect the families represented today, Lord. Enable them, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, to continue to do the work in Irwin here and the surrounding areas, Father God. So we just thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done. It's in that precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.